Good morning and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We're going through the book of Colossians, Paul's epistle to the church at Colossae, and he is reminding them of the all-sufficient Jesus Christ. All that we need to have a right relationship with God is found in Jesus Christ and not to be taken away by human wisdom and philosophy. And if there's ever a book that addresses our situation today, I would think it would be the book of Colossians, because we have a problem today, friends, with all kinds of man-made information that takes people away from God and Christ. It's easy to get that information in social media, online, on our phone, on the internet, and it's easy to buy books on Amazon. And people read all kinds of things, they hear all kinds of things from men, and they're being taken away from the words of Scripture. And so it's good to be going through the book of Colossians to remind us to make sure that our life is governed by Jesus Christ alone. He is all and in all, Colossians 3:11. Today I'd like to cover chapter 2, verses 8 through 23. Obviously, there's many, many things that could be said about every verse. I simply don't have time to do all of that on the program. So I'm giving some overviews and some summaries, but hopefully to make this main point, and that is not to be taken away from Jesus Christ. He is all and in all. So in chapter 2, verses 8 through 23, Paul will focus on this matter of human philosophy, and don't be taken spoil by it. Don't allow yourself to be robbed. And that's what we want to focus on today. Read your New Testament, read the words of Jesus Christ, be baptized into Christ. Paul talks about that in today's lesson, and stay faithful to Christ. That's all you need to have a right relationship with God. So let's begin reading in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8. Take heed lest there shall be in any one that makes spoil of you through his philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. We talked about at the very beginning of this series the nature of the Colossian heresy. It was human philosophy. It was deceitful. It was man's tradition. It didn't come from Christ. We talked about how that it was made up partly of Jewish teachings. We'll see that today. Partly made up of Gentile or Gnostic teachings. We'll see that again today. But don't be taken spoil. The word used there is found only here in the New Testament. It talks about an invading army that comes in and takes people and things away as spoil or booty or that which is taken by force. Don't let somebody come in and take you away like an invading army, and you are just simply their spoil, their prize. Don't allow that. And that's what happens when people allow themselves to be taken in by human philosophy. Don't allow that. Paul goes on to write in verse 9, "For in him, Jesus, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." We'll talk about in just a minute why Paul said bodily there. "And in him you were made full." We have everything we need in Christ. "In him you were made full." You don't have to be going after these other philosophies. "Jesus, who is the head of all principality and power, in whom," in Jesus, "you were also circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands." Not a physical circumcision like the male child cutting off of the foreskin. It's not a physical circumcision, but in the putting off of the body of the flesh, in the circumcision of Christ, putting off the old man of sin. Baptism is the point at which we put off that old man of sin. It's cut off, as it were, like circumcision. Verse 12, "having been buried with him in baptism." Baptism is a burial. It's not sprinkling or pouring water over someone. Just like someone being buried in the earth, we're buried with him in baptism, immersed in water, wherein you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And Paul will say that that resurrection, coming up out of that baptismal water, is to be raised to walk in newness of life, a new Christian life, Romans 6, 3 through 5. And you, being dead through your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, you, I say, did he make alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Notice that forgiveness of trespasses, verse 13, comes when we are buried with him in baptism, verse 12. It doesn't come before that. It doesn't come without that. That baptism is necessary for the forgiveness of sins. And that's confirmed other places in the New Testament. So the forgiveness of our trespasses came when we were buried with him in baptism. And if you haven't done that, friend, let me encourage you to do that. Let me help you to do that. Paul goes on to write in verse 14, having blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he hath taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Having despoiled the principalities and the powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. When Jesus died on the cross, was buried, was raised on the third day, later ascended to reign at the right hand of God, he made a show openly that he can triumph over anyone and anything, the devil, any other kind of principality or power. Jesus, in his death, burial, and resurrection and ascension, was in no way defeated. He was the triumphant one, because that is the very plan that both he and his Father had of forgiving mankind of sin. So he's in no way defeated. He's in every way triumphant. And so, in verses 8 through 15, Paul begins to write about not allowing human philosophy to spoil you or take you away as an invading army would the spoils of war. Don't allow that. Stay with Christ. You were baptized with him. You were buried with him. That's all you need. You were raised with him. That's all you need. And then he makes the point, especially for the Jewish members of the church at Colossae, they need to know, verses 13, 14, and 15, that the old law has been taken out of the way. So this danger of philosophy and teaching, if it had a Jewish background, and we'll see more of that when we get to verse 16, even that which was based upon the old law, the New Testament Christian is not to follow that. It's been taken out of the way. So whether it has a Jewish background stemming from the old law, or whether it has a Gentile or Roman or Gnostic teaching to it, you're not to follow that. You're to follow simply the teaching of Christ. And all throughout the letter of the Colossians, every chapter, there is some mention of all the wisdom or all the knowledge that we have, all the understanding that we have in Jesus Christ. That is what the book is about. Stay with the all-sufficient Jesus Christ. So, Paul is going to remind them, don't be taken in by that human philosophy that will spoil you. Let's go on to look at another figure that Paul will use. Starting in chapter 2 and verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a feast day or a new moon or a Sabbath day. These things came out of the old law. And while the old law existed from the time that it was given on Mount Sinai up until Jesus died on the cross, it was given to the Jews. It was not given to all mankind, but given to the nation of Israel. There were many laws, and those laws were in force. Some of those laws involved what you could eat and drink, certain feast days and the Sabbath day to honor it and to respect it and to keep it holy. But that was under the time of the old law. Paul had just said in the previous verses that it has been done away. So don't let someone that is pushing a Jewish background or a Jewish teaching, don't let them judge you. These things are no longer in force. Paul says in verse 17, these things that were under the old law, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is Christ. These things are a shadow, not the substance, not the substance of Christ. Just like the shadow of a tree is not the actual substance of the tree. The Old Testament law pointed forward to Christ. That is the ultimate of what God wanted in his plan of salvation. The old law has been done away. It's been nailed to the cross. It's simply a shadow. It's not the substance or the body of Christ, the full teaching of Christ. And so don't let someone judge you in the sense of make you do that. And then he goes on to say, verse 18, let no man rob you of your prize by a voluntary humility and the worshiping of angels and so forth. We'll look at those things in just a minute. Look at this next figure that Paul uses. The first figure he used was an invading army that would take you by spoil in verse 8. This figure in verse 18 is the figure of a judge or an umpire that would make a decision about you and take something away from you because of the decision that they made. Just like an umpire that stands behind the batter, he can take away an opportunity for that batter to get on base by calling strikes, for example. He takes away something based upon the judgment that he's going to make or the decision that he's going to make. So let no man rob you of your prize by these things. So don't let someone come in like an invading army and spoil you. Don't let someone like a judge or an umpire or an arbiter say things because of their human teaching and take things away from you or make you do things that you don't need to be doing. Don't allow that. Notice these statements in verse 16. Let no man, verse 16. Verse 18, let no man. Don't let this take place. It doesn't matter how popular it is. It doesn't matter how powerful it is. It doesn't matter how prominent it is. You stay away from that in the city of Colossae and the surrounding area. Don't be taken in by that. So it could be Jewish things. Those things are no longer in force. Don't let somebody bind that on you. It could be things that are coming from a Gnostic or a Gentile background. Don't let that happen as well. So now we get into that a little bit, starting in verse 18. Let no man rob you of your prize. What we have in Christ is like a prize. Don't let someone take that away from us. What we have in Christ is like a blue ribbon first place prize. Don't allow someone to take that away. And notice that it's voluntary. You can give that up if you want. You can be a Christian, but you can allow yourself to be taken in by these things and you end up being spoiled and judged and robbed. Friend, you have to have the spiritual fortitude, the understanding, the knowledge, and the fortitude to keep that from happening. You've got to be strong spiritually to stay faithful to Christ in a world today, much like Paul's world here in the book of Colossians, where there are many heresies, there are many kinds of teachings that can take a person away from Christ. So notice that it's up to you. You're either going to let these people do it to you or not. So continuing on in verse 18, let no man rob you of your prize by a voluntary humility and worshiping of the angels, dwelling in the things which they have seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast the head. That's talking about Jesus, who earlier in chapter 1 is described as the head of the body. He's the head of the body. He's the head of the church. Paul will say the same thing in Ephesians chapter 1, but Colossians 1:18, he is the head of the body. So rather than holding fast to Christ, the head of the body or the church, people take you away. So verse 19, not holding fast the head, from whom all the body being supplied and knit together through the joints and the bands, the various ligaments, the muscles, the bones, increases with the increase of God. If you want to increase the way God wants you to increase, if you want to grow the way God wants you to grow, you stay away from all of these man-made teachings. Your life is like a body that's connected to the head of Christ, and you're connected with other Christians in that body. You stay with that. You don't take off after these other teachings. You're joined together with other Christians who are joined together with Christ. That's all you need to have the increase of God in your life. So stay away from these things. And we'll say something a little bit about some of them in just a moment. But stay away from these things. And notice that Paul says fleshly mind. He had already described it back in verse 8 as human philosophy, vain deceit, tradition of men, rudiments or elements of the world. Here he describes it as things which are puffed up by a fleshly mind, human wisdom that makes a person proud. He's going to describe it in just a minute as ordinances and precepts and doctrines of men. Keep in mind, all these things are from man. What we can trust, we can't trust the words of man. We trust the words of Christ in the New Testament teaching. Don't trust the words of man. Check everything, test everything. But we can trust what's in our New Testament. And so remember where these things are coming from, minds of men. Verse 20, Paul goes on to say, if you died with Christ, and that's talking about what was mentioned back in verse 12, when we're buried with Christ, we die to that old man of sin. So when Paul says, if you died with Christ, he's not talking about physical death. He's talking about when we died to that old man of sin and buried him in baptism. So if you died with Christ, that's in baptism, from the rudiments or the basic teachings of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to ordinances? Just stop right there and just answer that question. It's a rhetorical question. Paul was not looking for an answer. He uses a rhetorical question to get them to think about the answer. You've died with Christ in baptism. Why, now that you're living as a Christian, why are you subjecting yourselves to man's teaching? Just analyze that question for a little bit. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Well, there's a number of reasons. We do it because it's popular. We do it because pressure is put on us. We do it because friends and family around us are saying it. We do it because a popular teacher is saying it. We do it because we want to fit in with the crowd. We don't want to be the one on the outside of the crowd, the odd man out. Why? Stop and analyze that question. Why do we subject ourselves to man's teaching? You look at all these things, and we cave in and give in to man's teachings because of the pressure, and we give in to that rather than staying faithful to Christ. So it's a great question. Why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to ordinances? And when you analyze the answer to that question, you realize, I shouldn't be doing that. It's not worth it. I need to stay with Christ. And so what are these ordinances of man? Well, handle not, nor taste, nor touch. Some of these things could also come from Jewish background. All which things are to perish with the using. This is not something that's going to help us. After the precepts and doctrines of men. That's not going to help us. Why do we subject ourselves to men? Well, for the reasons that I just mentioned and other reasons that you can think of. But we don't need to subject ourselves to men. We need to subject ourselves to Christ. And then Paul goes on to write, which things have indeed a show of wisdom. Notice back in verse 18, people are vainly puffed up by the fleshly mind. Oh, look at my human wisdom. But it's actually not helpful. It's not going to help us in any way. Which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and severity to the body, but are not of any value against the indulgence of the flesh. He says they're going to perish. They're not of any value. Stay away from these things. And so, friends, all we have is in Christ. All we need is in Christ. Turn away from these other things. Now, I wanted to spend a little time this morning talking about Gnosticism. I don't have time to cover all of it. I just want to mention a few things to help us understand what is going on here. Gnosticism comes from the Greek word gnosis, which means to know. There were individuals at this time. It's the beginnings of Gnosticism. It would grow more in the 2nd and 3rd and 4th century. But Gnosticism comes from gnosis, which means to know. And so Gnosticism was a group of individuals who claimed to have special knowledge. And so that's part of the background. That, along with Judaism, is a part of the background of this Colossians chapter 2. I just wanted to notice 4 things about Gnosticism. They had a belief that God is all good, but everything that is material is evil and wicked and bad. They actually believed that there were 2 kinds of gods. God that created all that is good, and another god or a demigod that created all that was evil and bad. And anything that is physical, including our body, anything fleshly, animals, plants, rocks, the earth, physical bodies, anything that is fleshly and physical is wholly evil. So let's look at some things. That was just a man-made belief that's not true. Back in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, all things that God made were good. All things that God made were good and very good. If there is sin and evil in the world, it's because of man and sin and the consequences of that. It's not because some other god or demigod created evil. God created all things that were good, including fleshly things and physical things. Man and the devil have turned much of that into what is evil and bad, but it didn't come from God. So as a result of this false and erroneous belief that all things fleshly and physical are evil and sinful, I want to notice 4 things or 4 consequences that came from this. Some, from that erroneous belief, drew an erroneous conclusion, and that is that since flesh and physical things are wholly evil, there's nothing that we can do about it, so we might as well just give in to this, a life of unrestrained evil and sin and immorality. This resulted in what is called antinomianism, or this idea of no law. Just go out and live any way you want because your flesh is sinful anyway. We're going to see that Paul actually addresses this when he gets into chapter 3. He says to put off these sins, stop engaging in these sins. You're not just to live a life of sinful things. Notice that false ideas lead to false consequences. This is very important. Ideas have consequences. Man-made ideas have man-made consequences, which are bad. So if you have a false or erroneous idea, it's actually going to lead to a false and erroneous consequence that is lived out in a person's life. And that is true today. So this false idea that everything physical is evil led to the daily practice of, well, I'm just going to give in to all things that are sinful and evil. That's what I've got to do anyway. A second consequence or result is a little bit different. Some of the Gnostics believed that the only way to deal with the evil flesh then was to repress it with a life of austere privation or asceticism. So some people took it as, well, I'm just going to live it up and live up a life of sin. Others took it as, well, I need to punish my sinful body. And some of that shows up in chapter 2, verse 23, humility and severity to the body. Some would deprive themselves of food and drink. Others would sit out in the cold. They would sit out in the elements, in the rain and in the heat, in order to punish their evil body. So some took it as, I'm going to live any way I want. Others took it as asceticism, I'm going to punish my body. And you see that these things are showing up actually in what Paul is saying. So the first thing he's going to address when he gets into chapter 3, you've got to stop sinning. The second thing he addresses right here in chapter 2, these things, if you engage in asceticism, it has really no value against the indulgence of the flesh. The third thing that some did with this was, if everything is evil and wicked that is physical in nature, Jesus, when he came to the earth, did not have a physical body, because he would have had an evil or sinful body. He just appeared to have a physical body. Some of the Gnostics believed that the only way God could have any connection with the physical universe that was evil, according to their theory, the only way he could have a connection with that is to send intermediary beings. It can't actually be God himself. He can't touch anything that is evil or wicked. It has to be a lesser intermediate being, like angels or Jesus Christ. And when angels or Jesus Christ came, they can only appear to have a physical body, but they don't really have that. They were called, the Gnostics called them aeons, emanations, or intermediate beings. But their bodies were not real bodies. It only appeared such. Well, that's just not true. Paul addresses this in the book of Colossians. Notice in chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 and 20, when he's talking about the death of Christ, he gave his life on the cross, and we find, going back to verse 18, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He actually died. And there was a physical body that was put in the tomb. For it was the good pleasure of the Father that should dwell in him the fullness. He was God. And through him to reconcile all things unto himself. Look at this. Having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him I say, whether things upon the heaven or things upon the earth. He actually died on the cross. And he had a body that died on the cross. Come with me to chapter 2 and verse 9. In him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Notice that, the Godhead bodily. That's very important. In chapter 21 and chapter 22 of verse 1, you being in time past alienated, yet now hath reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Look at that. In the body of his flesh through death, 1:22, and the fullness of the Godhead bodily, 2:9. So even Paul is addressing that one. Jesus had an actual physical body. And then, number 4, the system of Gnosticism caused many of the teachers to have a spirit of elitism, where they thought that they were better than others. They have this special knowledge that nobody else has. They have a corner on the special knowledge, you see. And so he says, he attacks that. He says, he calls it all kinds of things: vain, traditions of men, vainly puffed up, human tradition, human philosophy, human precepts and doctrines. He attacks all of it as simply being a false system. It's a false system meant to take people away from Christ. Well, we close with that, and we will begin next week continuing on. Stay with Christ. Stay away from false doctrine. Thank you for being with us on the program, and I hope that you'll have a good day.